You have your Bible with you today. We'd like you to turn, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And as you turn to that passage of Scripture, I'd like to bring you greetings from my congregation in Port Hope, Ontario. I know there are some folk here and they've already been to Port Hope, but for those who haven't, Port Hope is a little town just about 60 miles east of the city of Toronto. It sits on the edge of Lake Ontario. We've been ministering there for just over 11 years. And we still regard it as a pioneer work. Anyone involved in pioneer work will know what it's like. You have really from week to week discouragements and then encouragements. But the Lord has blessed us with a faithful congregation. Before I go any further, there's one member of my congregation I have to mention. Because this dear lady gets up early every morning and listens and watches the webcast and sermon audio of the service here in Macrafelt. And I must mention Mrs. Merdina Brown. Because if I don't mention Merdina, I'm in trouble when I go back again. And so we bring you greetings from our church in Port Hope. And we trust that the Lord will bless us here. Port Hope is a town that's known for being the place where one of our great hymns was written. A man called Joseph Scriven left Banbridge many years ago and went to live in Canada. And he set up home just outside Port Hope. Whenever he left Northern Ireland, he left under very dark circumstances. The lady he was to get married to, on the eve of their wedding, they were out on horseback and she fell off the horse and was killed. And when he went to Canada, his mother was somewhat concerned about him. So he sat down and wrote her a poem. And he entitled that poem, "Pray Without Ceasing." After a good number of years living in Port Hope, he met another young lady. They again planned to be married. 3 months before the wedding date, his future wife was baptized in Rice Lake, it's just north of Port Hope. As a result of that baptismal service and going into those cold waters, she got pneumonia. And she also died. Sometime after that, Mr. Scriven himself took ill and passed away. Whenever they were clearing out his belongings, found this poem in a drawer, "Pray Without Ceasing." They decided to have it printed in the local newspaper, the Port Hope Evening Guide. One particular person who bought that newspaper used it to parcel up a gift to send to a friend in the city of New York. Whenever they received the gift, they started to read the paper and saw this poem. And they knew a man who owned a hardware store and who wrote music, and they brought this poem to him and asked him if he would set it to music, which he duly did. Ira D. Sankey was D.L. Moody's song leader, and he was one of the first men to sing that hymn. That hymn is known today as "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So whenever you sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," think of the little work in Port Hope. Just lift your heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless our work. It's still a small work. We have a congregation of about 30, 35 people. But we thank the Lord for each one of them. And I thank the Reverend McCrae for the opportunity to minister the Word today in Macrafelt. It wasn't so long ago that I met up with Mr. McCrae. Both of us love the hot weather in Orlando. And we had a few weeks of fellowship there last year. And we always enjoy going there, and we enjoyed our time of fellowship with the McRae family. We'll turn now to God's Word and to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll commence our reading at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his own infallible and inspired word. Just before we consider God's word to our hearts this morning, let us unite in prayer around the throne of grace. Let us all seek the Lord. Our most gracious, loving Father and our eternal God, in the precious and thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence and approach thee once again at the throne of grace. And Lord, we thank thee that it is a throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And O Lord, we need thee at this moment. Loving Father, we're asking that in grace thou wilt come even now and meet our need. We pray, our God, this morning that thou would speak through thy word to all who have gathered in this meeting house. And we pray, Lord, that through the word we will see Jesus. Give us, dear Lord, this day a Christ-centered, Christ-honoring, and Christ-glorifying meeting. And Lord, it is our earnest prayer that in all things he will have the preeminence. Lord, bless this church. And bless, Lord, thy servant who ministers here. And O loving God, we pray that thou wouldst send us that which we've prayed for so long. Lord, send us revival. Amen. And start that work in our hearts even this morning. And for any, Lord, that are still in nature's darkness, and only a heartbeat away from eternity. Lord, save them today by Thy matchless grace. Fill us now, Lord, with the power of Thy Spirit, that we might be able, Lord, to preach the Word and to make much of Jesus Christ and His finished work. In His thrice holy name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. And our text for this morning is verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There are many examples in Scripture of the union which exists between Jesus Christ and His church. For instance, the Lord Jesus spoke of His relationship with His church as being like that between a shepherd and his sheep. John 10, verses 14 to 16. And there the Lord Jesus says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And as members of that fold, we rejoice that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The union again is emphasized when the Lord Jesus Himself said, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Christ is the vine. We his people are the branches in that vine. There we have that union again which exists between Christ and his church. Paul speaks about the Lord Jesus being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is an intricate part of the building. Christ, of course, is the chief cornerstone of the building which is the church. Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. And continuing in the same theme, the Apostle Paul speaks of Christ as being the head of the body, which is the church. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's that intricate, lasting, eternal, unbreakable, unshakable union between Jesus Christ and the church. He's the head and we're the body. Next, Paul sees Christ and His church as a husband and wife. Paul says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And here Paul is drawing our attention again to that union, and not only to the union which exists between Christ and this church, but also of the love that Jesus Christ has for His church. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And this is our subject this morning. Christ loved His church. Not only did He love His church, He gave Himself for it. And as we look at this love of Christ, we see first of all the precious love of Christ for His church. Husbands are exhorted to love their wives, even as Christ loved His church. So the question is asked, how did Christ love His church? How does Christ love His church? Paul tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved His church and gave Himself for it. That tells us that the love that Christ has for His church is a special love. Husbands will love their wives as they love no one else. Jesus Christ loves His church as He loves no one else. It's a special love. He will, of course, love others, but not in the same way that He loves His wife, even the church. The Lord Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 19, verse 19. This we must do. We must love our neighbor as ourselves. But we will not love our neighbor as we love our wives. Because the love that we have for our wife is a special love. The Savior also told His disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Once again, this is something we will endeavor to do as God's people. We will love one another. We will love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we will not love them as we love our wives. The love that we have for our wives is a special love. The love that Jesus Christ has for His church is a special love. When we think of this, we see the church is favored with Christ's special love. The Lord, of course, is kind and benevolent to one and all. Matthew 5 and verse 44. There we're told, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And so the evil receive tokens of God's goodness and His love. The unjust benefit from the goodness and the love of God. You remember the rich young ruler who came running to Jesus Christ, wanted to know what he may do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Lord told him what to do. But because he was rich, he didn't want to give up his riches. And he went away sorrowful, and it says, the Lord loved him. He loved this man who had just rejected him. And so he's kind and he's benevolent and loving to all, but he loves his bride like he loves no one else. He loves his church with a special love. He loves his spouse with a peculiar, remarkable, preeminent, special love, such as he bestows upon no one else. It must be so. It must be so. Or else the passage we have just read would be all but immoral. Christ loves us as He loves no one else. And dear hearer this morning, if you are part of the bride of Christ, Then you can rejoice today in knowing that Jesus Christ loves you as He loves nobody else. That's a special love. He has favored us with His love. The church was first loved by Christ. It's often been said that whenever young man and young woman meet, they say, oh, it was love at first sight. He falls in love with her and she falls in love with him, and before long, they plan their wedding day. Dear Christian, you remember the day you fell in love with Jesus Christ? You remember the day the Lord opened your eyes to behold Jesus Christ, the one who is altogether lovely and the one who is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls? Do you remember that day when you looked to that center tree on Golgotha's hill? Do you remember the day you saw Jesus Christ dying in your room instead? And for the first time, you recognize Christ died for me. Oh, you knew He had died for sinners. Somehow you never seemed to make the connection until God opened your eyes and you realized Christ died for me. And you fell in love with Him that instant. You've loved Him ever since. Ah, but Christ didn't start loving you then when you met Him at Calvary. Christ loved you long before that. Christ loved you, Christ loved His church, long before we ever loved Him. For John has said in 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He first loved us. Before we ever knew Him or received Him by faith, Christ was already in love with us. Bless His name. He had set His affection upon us. Loved us with a love that He wouldn't give to any other. And He loved us even before the foundation of the world. Before the sun ruled the day, before the moon ruled the night, before God put the stars in space, Jesus loved us. That's the love we have today. That's the love we can bask in. For He chose us. From before the foundation of the world, He chose us to be His bride. That's when He loved us. That's why we love Him. Because He first loved us. Hallelujah. Not only is this a special love, it's a selfless love. For you see, when a man meets a woman and falls, they fall in love. He will then want that woman to be his wife, his bride. Not only is he in love with her, but he believes that if he has this dear woman as his bride, as his wife for the rest of his life, then that will make him very happy. They look forward to a happy life together. And in that sense, the man is really thinking of himself. This dear woman will be a good wife and she will make me happy. Jesus Christ chose us to be his bride. But it wasn't to make Christ happy. Because you see, Jesus Christ being God was perfectly happy. You could not add to Christ's happiness or Christ's joy. Because he's God. How can we add anything to what God has or who God is? The Lord Jesus chose us to be his bride, not to complete his happiness, not to add anything to him at all. So why did he choose us? Why did he love us before the foundation of the world? Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And when we consider this, does this not then focus our attention upon this precious love of Christ? He who is perfectly happy, his joy, his happiness, his pleasure is complete. So why then did he choose for himself a bride? It was according to the good pleasure of his will. Consider also that when Christ loved us and chose us to be his bride, it was not because of any goodness or beauty in us. Young man's attracted to a young lady because of her beauty. But when Christ looked on us, I can guarantee he didn't see any beauty in us. He didn't see any loveliness in us. How did Isaiah describe us? As those who were full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. That's what we were in the eyes of God. That's what we were like in the eyes of Jesus Christ. No beauty, no loveliness. Nothing attractive about us at all, and yet he chose us to be his wife. That's precious, isn't it? Look at the verse 26 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. He loved us. Why did he love us? Verse 26. Read the verse before it again, our text. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that... Here's the reason. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's why he loved us. He loved the unlovely, that he might make us lovely with his own loveliness. Because the words there in verses 26 and 27 could easily be a description of Jesus Christ, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Christ is holy and without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. He's holy, harmless, undefiled. And he chose us and he loved us to be chose us to be His wife and He loved us as His wife that He might make us like Him. That He might make us as lovely as He is. That's why we are to be conformed into the image of this person. We are to be like our husband. We're to be Christ-like. Notice also that we have here a sincere love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Are we not speaking here about a sincere love? Love, of course, that is not sincere is not true love at all. Here the apostle exhorts the husband to love his wife even as Christ loved the church. The wife may at times wonder, does her husband still love her? She may even ask that question. Husband, do you still love me? Do you love me as much now as you loved me when you first met me? Do you still love me? Well, I can say this today, dear child of God. We will never, never have to ask that question of our husband, Jesus Christ. As the bride of the Savior will never have to say, Lord Jesus, do you still love me? Never. Because He loves us now. Every bit as much as He loved us before He put the stars in space. His love hasn't increased. His love hasn't decreased. He loves us as He has always loved us. Hallelujah. And when you look at the love of Christ for His church, that sincere love, you have an unfailing love. There are those times in every marriage when things are difficult. Things are hard, and maybe sometimes you wonder how we're going to make ends meet. You know what it's like in the times of trial and difficulty, then the husband can get on the nerves of the wife and so forth. It is then, of course, in such times of difficulty and trial that the husband is able to fulfill his marriage vows. Those vows he took when he stood in God's house, promised to love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, as long as they both shall live. And when Christ took us to be His bride, Jesus Christ vowed. He made a vow regarding His bride. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. And has He not kept that promise? Has He not fulfilled that vow? Can we not today testify yes? He has loved us and comforted us and honored and kept us in sickness and in health. Have we not proven His love? In those times of sorrow and suffering and solitude,
If we have felt at times nobody else loves us, we know this, Jesus loves us. Should the whole world forsake us, we know that Jesus Christ will never forsake us. Should our best friend stop loving us, Jesus Christ will never stop loving His church. Unfailing. Unfailing. It's not only unfailing love, it's unending love. Unfortunately, it does happen. Some husbands tell their wives that he doesn't love her anymore. Well, not so with Christ. Lord Jesus will never say to you or to me, I don't love you anymore. For Christ's love for His church is not only unfailing, it's unending. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, we read, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, we sang it this morning, love with everlasting love. Led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. We're loved by Christ. And He loves us and will love us forever. John 13 verse 1, having loved His own, which were in the world, listen to it, He loved them unto the end. And there are those times, dear Christian, when it seems as though everything has come to an end. When things happen and it's as if your whole world crumbles down around you. And everything you held dear has come to an end. And you wonder, does anybody love me? You can rest assured, Jesus still loves you. For He loves you until the end. The husband will promise in his wedding vows that he will love his wife until death us do part. But the love of Christ for his wife goes beyond that. Death doesn't end and bring to a close Christ's love for us. Isn't that what Paul said? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Not even death can quench the love that Christ has for His church. Bless His name. Bless His wonderful name. Unfailing, unfaltering, unending, unfathomable. There are some folk you could say, well, there's a limit to their love. No such limit to Christ's love. He's God.
How can you measure eternity? How can you measure infinity? Can't. How can you measure the love of Christ for you and for me? Can't be done. You cannot fathom the depths of Christ's love. You cannot measure the height of Christ's love. You cannot span the width of Christ's love. That's a special love. That's a precious love. And Paul speaks about the proof of Christ's love. What does he say? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Young man falls in love with a young lady. Young man will say, I'll do anything for you. Wants to express his love. I'll do anything for you. Now Christ doesn't have to prove his love for us. Because God is love. But if you want the proof of God's love, if you want the proof of Christ's love for you, you've only to look to Calvary. And there you have his love in operation. We see the operation of his love when he gave himself for us. He gave himself to searching for us. Oh, he loved us before the hills in order stood or earth received her cry, but he had to go searching for his bride. Just as Abraham sent Eliezer, his servant, out to seek a bride for Isaac. So the Lord Jesus Christ went in search of a bride for himself. What did that entail? To find her, he must leave his father's house. That's what he did. And he did it all for love. He must be prepared to leave his place among angels. He must be prepared to leave the ivory palaces of glory and come into this world, leaving behind that place where he was the song of angels. And come into this world where he became the song of the drunkard. And he was prepared to do that. Why? Because of love. He must be prepared to live in obscurity for 30 years. And this he did because of his love for his bride. To find her, he must contend with the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. And he was prepared to do that. Why? Because he loved his bride. To find her, he must be prepared to face false accusation and of all manner of evil spoken against him falsely. And he was prepared to do it. Why? Because he loved his bride. He would do anything for her. To find her, he must search the highways and the byways, the valleys and the wildernesses for the love of his bride, and he did so. To find her, he must be prepared to be arrested, imprisoned, found guilty of crimes he did not commit. But he did it because he loved us. To find her, he must be prepared
to be put to death.
If the question had been put to Christ, what will you do for your bride? Christ would have said, I will do anything. I will die for my wife.
I will die for her. I will give my life's blood for her. And wasn't it there at Calvary where he found his bride? Isn't that where we knelt?
That's where Christ found me on the 5th of May, 1969. Hallelujah, in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. He found me at last. He didn't give up searching. He kept on searching until he found me. And dearly beloved this morning, if you ever, ever, ever doubt the love of Christ for you, I say today, climb by faith Golgotha. Stand there on that hill, that place of a skull. See the crown of thorns. See the blood flow. See the nails. And the sight of Calvary will banish every doubt. Because there's love in that crown of thorns. There's love in those nails that pierced his hands and his feet. There's love in that blood that flowed down. Look at Calvary today and see the love of Christ, the love that he has for his bride. Can we not then today come to him and say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. He gave himself to searching for us. He gave himself to save us. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And when he gave himself to the Roman guard. He gave himself to a Roman gibbet. He gave himself to the scourging whip. He gave himself to the iron nails. He gave himself to the spear. He gave himself to the cold steel of a sword. He gave himself to the very powers of darkness. Because when they came to arrest him, he said, this is your hour in the power of darkness. And the powers of darkness did their worst to Jesus Christ. And that's what Christ did for us. That's how he loved us. You're the object of his love. Note carefully the wording. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's a great wonder, isn't it? Dear believer, have you ever stopped to think Just thought upon it for a moment. Why did Jesus Christ die for me? Why? Why did Christ die for a sinful, filthy, unclean, corrupt wretch such as me? No greater love hath any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But when Christ laid down his life for us, we weren't his friends, we were his enemies. Four young men went to fight in Vietnam. In the course of that war, they were out one day going through the bush in Vietnam. Suddenly a hand grenade was thrown into their midst. One of the young men ran. Threw himself in that hand grenade. He was blown to pieces, but his comrades, their lives were spared. When the war was over, the mother and father of the dead soldier invited his comrades to their home one night for a reunion. One of the young men who came to that home that night was rather the worse for drink. As the night went on, he drank more, made a nuisance of himself. Nothing but foul language came out of his mouth. And when the reunion was over, parents of the dead soldier showed his friends to the door. And after they left, mother of the dead soldier said to her husband, "Why did our son give his life for such a wretch as that man there? But why did Christ give his life for such guilty, hell-deserving wretches such as we? It's a mystery of mysteries. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it." Bless his name.